Hello and welcome to another episode of CMO Combo, a podcast from CMO Alliance where we chat to marketing leaders what it takes to be a great CMO in the modern day. This time we're speaking to Lynn Coy, CMO and VP of Brand at Oneflow, and we're exploring the importance of owning your superpower in your marketing career and why that might take rethinking the responsibilities of CMOs. Hi Lynn, welcome to CMO Combo. How are you doing today?
Hello Will, nice to meet you. I'm doing really well today. Thank you. How about yourself?
I'm good. And I'm very excited about this conversation as well, because it's off the back of your inclusion in our CMOs to watch list. And it's about something you wrote in there about breaking up the CMO position, sort of dividing the responsibilities a bit, because it seems that the higher you get as a marketer, you move more and more away from the marketing function. And sort of your superpower is how you described it in the report. But before we get into that, maybe you want to tell us a bit about your background and your role at Oneflow.
Absolutely. So I've been working with marketing for the past 20 years, and it has always been my passion. I live and breathe marketing. I started off as my own agency that we sell ideas to companies. And after that, I worked my way up from marketing assistant to right now, I'm vice president of brand at Oneflow in technology marketing. And I've always worked with B2B marketing and realized that, marketing is hard.
It's really hard, yeah, especially with the amount of responsibilities that CMOs face, particularly in sort of B2B SaaS startups. Like, there seems to be a lot of demands on their responsibilities that they might not be familiar with. Like, a lot of CMOs might have come up through sort of content routes. They might have come up through product marketing routes, and suddenly they're into like demand gen, lead gen, dealing with finances and stuff like that, that they might not have been trained to do. And that has got to be a problem. And I think it's a problem that you highlighted in the Ones to Watch report. Do you want to explain a bit about why that you saw that as an issue and something needed to be highlighted?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, thank you for recognizing myself in the report. I really appreciate it, and it allows me to discuss this topic today, which is super important to me. One of the things that I realized is that I saw also on your website, CMO tenure is 3 years on average. And I realized maybe that has to do with how businesses and also the profession itself being perceived from our peers. Is it marketing in terms of demand generation, or is it marketing in terms of brand and storytelling? And these two roles are conflicted to each other. What we're trying to tell our CMO to do is really to set them up for failure. And with that said, when I really think a lot about this topic, and really, believe me, I spend so many hours, days, and months thinking about why is this role so conflicted? And really what we're trying to do here is to get our marketers to both run marathon and sprints at the same time. Sure, that works for, some companies. If you don't care about your marketer being really good at what they do, that works. And a marketer can be a generalist and be really good at both sprints and marathon, but they will never win the award. They will never win number one, in each of them. So you cannot be good at everything. And so I think the CMO profession itself needs to change. And I see the future of B2B marketing, especially to have both the chief brand officer as well as the chief marketing officer working alongside with each other on the same executive table.
Yeah, definitely. It makes sense, totally. Especially in the B2B space where brand is becoming more and more important. Like, for a long time, I feel a lot of B2B marketers that thought that they kind of neglect brand for a bit. But in a world of very, very targeted ads and very easily accessible data, we were able to just focus purely on demand gen. But that's changing now with the death of cookies, with the rise of GDPR and more regulations around data control, we're not going to be able to do those kind of targeted ads. And that's going to mean that the brand is going to be even more important. It's going to be absolutely essential to stand out in a very, very crowded marketplace. Was that the kind of perspective that you were thinking in that respect? Or was it just in terms of like the internal, like organizational stuff?
Absolutely. I've always said like Google kills marketing in general. I mean, sorry to say, but I mean, if you look into the ads that has been working for the past 40, 50 years, it's those of cult brands. They're still working today. And that is because brand has stand through the test of time. Demand generation is another field where it's an important field as well. I just feel that our marketing at the CMO role has switched into more focus of a demand gen role, and the brand has to take the back seat, because obviously, you know, in business wise, revenue is important, and I think that's super important too. But I also think it's super important for businesses to retain talents that are super good at what they do, and not just satisfy the fact that we need only one chief marketing officer on our executive table, and obviously they will be forced to prove their worth. And when you try to focus too much on sprints, which is, you know, basically running campaigns, each and every month we will review our KPI, how much money have we invested in this, how much money we're getting back. We tend to forget that, you know, brand takes a longer time and has a time lag between proving the return on the investment. And so that's why I feel that, you know, on their executive seat, you know, two things basically. One is to make sure that brand doesn't take the back seat. Number two is that the talents that we hire. So if you have a marketing team of 12 people, maybe half of them would want to be on the executive table, you know, and want to sit on with the executive table at one point, but really there's no career path that they can follow to make their dreams come true. So you're either forced to learn budgeting, forecasting, so that you can become the CMO that, you know, the world wants you to become. Or, I mean, if we are able to change the way we look into marketing profession today on the C-level, that there is a career path for you. And that is, you know, be really good at what you do, which is to create the message and ensure that the story is being told again and again, and how you fit into the position in the market. How do you create a category? How do you build a community surrounding your brand? How do you ensure employer branding is being taken care of, you know, not just from your people and culture team, but also like from the company level? So really, I see, you know, marketing has this creating the message, creating the strategy. And then there's another set of marketing that is distributing the message, making sure it gets to the right target audience at the right time in the right channel.
And then they're both completely equally valuable to I don't think we're saying that all the demand gen and content distribution isn't going to be an important part of a B2B company. It is going to be important, but at the same time, there does need to be that focus on the long term strategy side of things. So it's almost sort of splitting the CMO role into the tactic side, the short term, and the strategy side, the long term. So the sprints and the marathons. Is that what you're saying?
I wouldn't call it like the short term versus the long term. Okay. You know, I would say it's more about being super good at what you do, and that's what the superpower comes in. If you're thinking about it, if your brain has to focus on, you know, both running sprints and the marathon at the same time, one of them will have to take the back seat, because I mean, we're not good at thinking two things at one time. You know, you can say whatever you want about women, you know, they can multitask. That's not true. Sure, people can multitask, but each of the tasks maybe is not done as perfectly as it would have been if it wasn't a multitask, you know? And I don't believe in simply, you know, accomplishing a task without actually the deep work being involved. I truly believe that if you have the opportunity to focus on your superpower, you can achieve mastery that no one else can take from you. And, you know, that goes in, back into the fact that, you know, if you're a new to marketing today, and you want to understand how do I get to that C level? I mean, the first thing that people have to do is to test everything and see what is it that actually, you know, that you feel passionate about, that you feel like this is where I feel like I'm in the flow. Now I'm.
What are you saying about being passionate about your work? Like that's incredibly important in marketing. Like to be creative with something, you have to be passionate about it. And if your career path is saying you have to learn certain things, you have to do certain things that you're not passionate about, of course it's work. Like sometimes you have to do things you don't like, but if your career path is shaping you into a career that you're not happy about, then you're not going to want to take that career path, which means we're missing out on some very valuable creative voices in the C-suite who could be the proponents for this brand strategy. Well, not even just brand strategies, any type of marketing that's maybe not getting its fair shake in the C-suite. So is that what it's going to be about? It's about giving sort of a better route for people to the top? Like, does it start from the bottom, or is there sort of like a top-down approach we can take to this?
I definitely think it should be a top-down approach. If you look into the B2C industry, actually having brand as, you know, at the top C level is very common. It's just very uncommon in the B2B world. So if you're in the B2B world, that's where I think there needs to be a change in terms of, you know, as a maybe like a startup founder, you would want to put focus into two of these roles rather than just one CMO that will come in and you would expect that CMO to set up operations, set up campaigns, and at the same time rebrand. I mean, that is where I think the conflict always, you know, kind of happens, which means that the brand always takes the back seat and there's always like a reverse engineer of the brand. And the other part is, of course, I've known a lot of people that has been CMO and has been frustrated with the fact that I don't get to do what I really feel passionate about. Rather, I'm being pulled into different meetings to prove my KPI. And most of my weeks and months are spent making sure we can track which channel, attribution model, et cetera, et cetera. And that's something that is, I mean, it's very interesting too. But, you know, maybe that's not something you are passionate about coming from the traditional marketing, you know, world. And they quit, move to another company. The cycle repeats itself. They quit again. And then they will start their own agency as a brand consultant. I've known so many people who does that. And that's why, I mean, explains why, you know, the CMO, the average tenure for a CMO is just 3 years, because it takes 3 years to like feel that I'm not going anywhere with this. Rather, my job is now, you know, all about working with the CFO, which is super important. I'm not discounting the fact that you don't need to have a number-oriented CMO, which is like super important. But I see like how as our technology, as the company evolves, there is a need to have, you know, both the revenue-focused marketeer as well as the brand, content, product marketing, community building-focused type of marketeer. Who work alongside with each other. And I'm not suggesting that they should be separate departments. I'm just suggesting that both team leads should have a voice on the management level, on the leadership level. So it doesn't, you know, neither of them get the back seat.
Mm-hmm. But then isn't the danger, particularly with startups, that they just don't have the resources to have these multiple marketing leaders? Like, is it possible to have both in a sort of a resource poor environment? Like, how can you satisfy both? Like, I think one of the reasons that they want a CMO to come in and do everything is because that's all they can afford at the end of the day. Like, is it really a practicality to take this approach in an early stage company?
Well, again, you know, I'm not suggesting that you would hire two people at the same time. I think it's a good idea to look into what the CEO or the, you know, the founder is good at that point, and what the biggest gap is. But to have to bear in mind that at some point, while you scale the company, you're going to need to have two marketers with two different focus. So if the founder at that point, when you start the company, is really good with data operations, well, then yes, hire a CMO who's really good with rebrand, storytelling, positioning, messaging. And then at some point you would hire a demand gen person. But you know, if it's vice versa, if the story is already there and the founder is really good with writing, copying, messaging, positioning, then the operation focus demand gen marketer would be more important as the CMO from the beginning. So I would say, you know, like, just keep in mind that, you know, the future of marketing is really need to be split into both marathon and sprint campaigns, and doing the longer term strategy formulator type of role. But start with the one that you have the biggest pain.
Definitely, definitely. And so in terms of, say someone's in the CMO role right now and they're thinking, oh, this sounds good, maybe I should suggest switching over to a chief brand officer role. They're going to need to communicate the value of that position, of course, like, because you're basically creating a new position within the company. They might have to hire a new person to step into that demand gen place. What is the value of stepping in, of having the voice? We've talked about it, how great it is for marketers to have this voice and be able to focus on their superpowers. But what is the value of building such an emphasis of brand for organizations?
Yes, I love you asked the question. I truly believe that love is the ultimate growth strategy for companies. And that has to do a lot with brand, right? And brand is the only asset that you cannot, that you have control of. So companies, they don't have control of their facts, speed, quality, price. You know, any competitors can duplicate or be better at those facts. But brand, that is something that company owned. The only thing that you have control over. And in order to create a brand that drives demand, companies need to look into creating a brand that people would love. And I always like to talk about this as well, like, what happens when you fall in love with a brand? Really, there's research that shows that with love comes referral. I think it's about 64% from McKinsey study, mm-hmm. that people that actually love a B2B brand, and we're talking about B2B brand, it's not, it's just like, you know, Netflix or YouTube, yeah. or whatever. It's just a B2B brand. They would, 64% of them would recommend to their friends and family. And also, if we think about it, you know, one third of our buying journey actually consists of sort of brand related activities. So you would ask for referrals, ask for recommendations from your peers. Those kind of thing, you know, they're not probably shown in an attribution model, but you know that people are, you know, going to their friends and peers to ask for a recommendation of their tech stack, for instance. So if you're selling to sales, marketing, I mean, you want to make sure that they love your brand. If we want to take it, you know, to a level that that has to do with us as humans, you know, like, we want to buy things that are brands that we choose ourselves and we don't want to be sold to. Mm-hmm. And when we love something, when you fall in love, you know, there three different kinds of chemicals that happen, or hormones that happen in your brain. One is the adrenaline. So when you fall in love, you get adrenaline. And what does that mean? You want more of something. It's a kick. You want more of that kick. The other hormones that happen in your brain when you fall in love is oxytocin. And oxytocin is a hormone that is produced by mothers who are breastfeeding their babies. And that's when you kind of feel safe. That's when you feel safe. You feel like, I can trust this person. I can, you know, and that all these hormones happen when you fall in love. And the third one would be dopamine. And dopamine is a hormone that allows you to store memory long-term, which means that you remember. So to summarize, if you fall in love with a brand, you would want more of it. You would feel safe. You can trust them. And also, you remember them. So if you need something, if your brand is there, even though it doesn't hit the first time, maybe on the eighth time, and all of a sudden, oh, I'm ready to buy, then your job as a brand marketer is to make sure that, you know, they remember you. So that's why I truly believe that, you know, creating a, you know, a brand that actually drives demand and growth of the company equals creating a brand that people love.
It's a really beautiful answer. I really like that, Ling. That's absolutely lovely. I think it hits the nail on the head, because there's so much evidence out there of how strong that is now, particularly in recent years. Like, there's many, many B2B startups and brands that are taking sort of this brand first approach, and it's really paying off for them. You know, I know you're a big fan of Gong. I'm a big fan of Gong as a brand. Like, it's absolutely incredible what UD's done there, building the brand. Like, they had their first Super Bowl ad at the weekend. And it's because people love that brand so much. They've grown so much. They built this awesome brand, this awesome community to build around. It's because UD's been given the freedom to build that kind of brand. And maybe that's what we need more in B2B, by giving this, splitting up the CMO role, by giving someone the power to actually take a brand and run with it and create a really, really strong brand from an early stage as well. I mean, it gives people a chance to fall in love early on. And I think that's a really, really nice way of thinking about it. Yeah. Sorry, I'm tearing up a bit here.
No, really. Thank you. But also with Gong, I mean, it's a great example. I mean, they're not just creating a brand that people love, but people love them. It's also because they're teaching us something. So really, it's not just a fluffy pink cloud type of thing. Like, we just have to always remember that it's also about educating, giving insights, giving value. So if you look into their content, right, it's always data backed. It's nothing that they just like write on top of, you know, from anything. It's really data backed. It's data from their research lab. All the content are produced there. And the thing is, if you have started building this, I mean, I'm a big fan of Gong. I'm a big fan of Udi, who's the CMO there. I'm so proud to be in the same lineup as him as well. So it's like superstar truck. But anyway, if you think about their head of content, for instance, right? Where would he go as a career path? I'm not saying like we're trying to steal him or anything like that. No, but I'm just saying, like, where would his career path go? Maybe he would probably change job at some point of time, because maybe he would be aiming to become the CMO one day because he wants to have more influence in the company as he grows. But I don't know, maybe he's like this unicorn that loves doing what he does and he would stay there forever. But I think human has, you know, need to be recognized and to have a bigger influence, leaving a legacy. And one way to look into it is to climb the career ladder. And that's where I think the CBO role would encourage young marketeers who's really good at, you know, content, brand, and product marketing. That's where you can grow. That's where you can be. And that should be your North Star. Because if you were to move to CMO, well, these are the stuff that you need to fulfill before you can actually become a true rock star CMO. So I think that is an example of, you know, why I feel the importance of having this, you know, opportunity in order to, you know, not only retain your best marketeers, but also to normalize the fact that marketing is not just about attribution.
Yeah, definitely. And I could see it developing more as companies mature, and maybe the C-suite gets more developed in an organization. You could have it evolve into different forms. So you could have, I know particularly in B2C, there are things like chief storytelling officer and stuff like that, yeah. Like chief of story. And that could be a route for a head of content to go. But I think focus now, let's get the CMO and the CBO roles up and running, because it sounds like a really, really good approach. It's certainly something that, from my perspective as a marketer, I maybe wouldn't want to be a CMO because it is so much about attribution at the moment. But as a chief brand officer, that's something I could be very interested in. And I know awesome. There's many other officers, there's many other marketers as well. I know you've had great feedback on this, like when you presented it in the ones to watch list. So it's definitely something that our audience is interested in. It's definitely something that's on their mind. So, I think just to sum it up, what would you say to someone who is looking to climb the career ladder but isn't sure about taking the CMO route, or maybe someone who's in the CMO role and is thinking, maybe I want to shift to a different track kind of thing with that? Like, what would your main piece of advice be to them? Like,
right. So there's two things. One, if you're a young marketer, what I would advise is to test everything. But when you test everything, make sure it's a step, you know, it's a phase one, phase two, phase three approach. Make sure when you test, when you try out something new, go deep. And you will hit a point where you feel like, oh gosh, I don't like go deep into this topic. Then move on to the next topic, SEO. Maybe the first one would be like paid campaigns. Oh, that's cool. But not so much. Okay, I'll move to SEO. Oh, that's really cool. Like, at some point, you will reach a point where you feel like, I keep thinking about this all the time, even though when I'm sleeping, I will look for a podcast that I will listen to and go deep and master the topic completely. And that's how you find your superpower. And from there, you will know where you want to go. And for existing CMO roles, I think, like, if you feel like, oh, I need to, I don't like what I'm doing, but I love my company and I need to change my passion, but I don't want to go down and being demoted, you know, and what you need to do is just ask. Simple. If they don't give you that, change job.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's great. That's one of the best advice I think that's come out of the last few years, that if you're not happy with your role, there are other roles out there. The Great Resignation is not just about people at junior level jobs. It applies all the way up to the C-suite. Like, if you're not happy in your role, there's other roles out there. Like, you don't have to slave away at something that isn't your passion. And I think that's a great message to end this on, Link. Like, find your passion, and if you need to go elsewhere to find your passion, it's out there. Thank you very much for joining us today, Link. It's been a great conversation, and I want to thank our audience for listening as well. I'm sure they've enjoyed it as well. And we'll be back soon with another CMO combo.
Thank you.